the reality of what disciples experienced at that time. Fighting a losing battle against the wind, against the waves, seeing someone looks like a ghost walking on water, then realizing with it's still perplexity that's going through their minds that it was Jesus. Jesus literally walking on the water. The fear, the uncertainty of their outcome. We've been in a series of messages called How God Rescues Us. Today is the last part. We're going to talk about when you feel like sinking. I want you to follow along. The verses are in Mark chapter 6, verses 45 through 52. Look what it says. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up alone to the mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them when they saw him walking on the lake. They thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. Now, there are three accounts of this in three of the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and John give an account of this event. And as we go through this, I'm going to be pulling verses from each of those Gospels as we learn about what really did happen. Now, I find it really interesting that Jesus intentionally sent the disciples into a storm. It was on purpose. Look at the beginning. There were some verses up there. It said, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. I don't know how he made them, but he did. He put them in the middle of this storm on purpose. Why? He had a lesson of faith that he wanted to teach them. Talk about being a creative teacher, huh? Now, first, I want us to look at five signs which indicate that we might be sinking ourselves. You may not realize it sometimes when you're sinking. You may be sinking financially or relationally or emotionally or spiritually. You just drained and you feel like you're ready to go under. So let me give you five signs that you might be sinking. First, you can fill this in on your outline. A good sign is that I can't see my way. I just feel like I'm in the dark, like I'm in a cloud. I don't have any clarity. I don't have any vision. I'm confused. The Bible says in John 6, verse 17, that by now it was dark. Now, most of us have never been in complete darkness. But 2,000 years ago in Israel, without electricity, in the middle of the lake, when storm clouds have completely covered the moon and all the stars, it's pitch black. You can't even see your hand in front of your face. One of the first characteristics of going under is that you feel like you can't see your way any longer, like you used to. You ever felt that way? A second sign that you might be sinking. Number two, I feel that I'm on my own. I feel like I'm all on my own. I'm rowing against the storm and I feel like I'm all by myself. Nobody is helping me. I don't know where God is. I feel out of touch with God. And in John 6, verse 17, it said, Jesus had not yet joined them When they were in the boat, when they were in the storm, Jesus wasn't there yet. And they were afraid. When you feel like you're on your own, we can easily get overwhelmed. There's a third sign that you might be sinking. Number three, I feel that I'm out of my comfort zone. Is anybody here, are you well aware of your comfort zones? I can tell in a heartbeat when I'm getting out of my comfort zone. Anxiety just shoots up. Sometimes when we feel like we're out of our comfort zone, we feel like we're sinking. In Mark 6:47, it says, the boat was in the middle of the lake. Matthew 14:24 says, they were a long way from shore. The boat was in the middle of the lake. It's a giant lake. It wasn't called the Lake of Galilee. It was called what? The Sea of Galilee. But it was a lake so big they thought it was like a sea. And when you're out in the middle of the lake, when you're out in the middle of the sea, you're as far away from shore as you can get. And they're out of their comfort zone. Maybe you feel like you've been blown off course by a conflict or some fears. Your plans are all off course. You're out of your comfort zone. A fourth sign that you might be sinking. Number four, strong forces are against you. In Matthew 14, verse 24, it says, they were tossed around, they were battered by waves. In John 6, 18, it says, the waters grew rough. In Mark 6, 48, it says, the wind was against them. Have you ever read the book or seen the movie, The Perfect Storm? Have you ever? Some of you are familiar with that. It's a true story about a perfect storm that hit North America between October 28th and November 4th in 1991, and it features the crew of the fishing boat Andrea Gale from Gloucester, Massachusetts. They were lost at sea during severe conditions while longline fishing for swordfish 575 miles from where they started. They were in rogue waves of 80 to 90 feet high. It looks like the kind of storm that the disciples were in. It also looks like the kind of weather John and I went fishing in, if you were here for that story. The word that John's account of this story is the word megas, and it means a mega storm, a Category 5 hurricane. Some of you feel like you're going through a mega storm now, that you feel forces are against you, and you feel like you might sink. There's a fifth sign that you might be sinking. Number five, I'm struggling and I'm failing. Mark 6:48 says, they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and the waves. They were like, I'm doing my best, but I'm still going under. I'm straining, I'm struggling. I'm rowing the boat, but it's making no progress. I know sometimes we have all felt that way. Maybe we feel like we're in serious trouble. Maybe you've been trying to get out of debt, but you just go further into debt. You've been trying to get a job, but there's none to be found. You've been trying to make your marriage work, but you've been struggling with it. It just doesn't seem to be working out. There's something that you need in your life. You're struggling, and you feel like you're failing. And when that happens, we can feel like we are beginning to sink. Now, when we go through problems, we typically think that God has forgotten us. Where is God in this? We think that God may not even be aware of what we're going through, like he's a million miles away. But nothing could be further from the truth. The fact is, every time you go through a storm, God is doing four things for you while you're going through that storm. It's illustrated by what Jesus did for the disciples. So what did Jesus do when they felt like they were sinking out in that boat in the storm way back in the day? He does these same things for us. First of all, when we feel like we're sinking, Jesus prays for me before the storm even happens. Before the storm hits, Jesus prays for us. In Matthew 14, Jesus was up on the mountain praying for his disciples, and he then sent them into the storm. He prayed for them and then said, "Go." Now, folks, God knows everything that's going to happen in your life. That's why you'll never hear God go, "Wow, I didn't see that coming. Boy, that one caught me by surprise." God knows already. The night before Jesus went to the cross with his disciples, and Peter is kind of bragging, and he says, "Lord, I will die for you." And Jesus said, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times before tomorrow morning." Jesus already knew ahead of time what Peter was going to do. And look at Luke 22, verse 32. Jesus said, "Peter, I have prayed for you that you will not lose your faith. Help your brothers be strong when you come back to me." What did Jesus do? He knew what Peter was going to do, and he said, "Peter, I've already prayed for you. I've been praying for you already." Folks, Jesus has already prayed for you and for me through what we're going to go through this day, next week, next month, through this year. Jesus prays for us. Now, I don't know how that works. I'm being quite honest. I don't understand the theology of that. God's in heaven, Jesus is in heaven, Holy Spirit's in heaven, Holy Spirit's down here, and Jesus knows what's going to happen, but he still prays to the Father. He still intervenes. I don't really get all the theology of that. But guess what? I don't have to. I know Jesus is praying for me. And he's praying for you. He's interceding for us. Look at Romans 8:34. "Who condemns us? Not Jesus Christ, who died and then was raised back to life." Look. "And is now at the right hand of God interceding for us." He's interceding for you by name. He knows exactly what you're going through, what you're going through, and he's interceding for you to the Father. I don't understand all that, but I'm glad for it. Pastors pray for you. I hope you pray for one another. You have other people you pray for. And I love to think in all of that, Jesus is praying for Kevin. That is incredible. I'd like to just camp here for a while. Do you understand that? He prays for you by name. He knows everything you've been through, what you're going through this moment, what's going to come around the bend that you don't even know about. And he's already prayed for it. Anybody here worry a little bit about tomorrow? Just a little bit. Some of you are lying because you're not raising your hand. I don't know that we'll ever fully stop worrying. We're human. But I know that what I worry about, Jesus already prayed for. Right? To God the Father. Incredible. Incredible. So Jesus prays for us when we're sinking, when we think we're going down. He's interceding for us. Number two, Jesus notices my struggle. He notices my struggle. In Mark 6:48, it says, "Jesus saw the disciples straining at the oars." They're trying to keep the ship afloat. They're trying to get back to shore. Jesus saw it. The disciples were unaware that Jesus was paying attention to what was going on in their life, so they became extremely afraid. Because we always get afraid when we think God isn't paying attention or that we forget he's paying attention. Look at Job 31, verse 4. He, speaking of God, he sees everything I do and counts every step I take. How many of you ever use those counters? You put them on your belt or you put them on your foot when you're walking. You do those little counter things. They're pretty good. But you know what happens sometimes? They miss steps. You knew you went another 10,000. They say, no, you didn't. You only went 5. They miss steps. Guess what? Jesus never misses a step, a thought, a need. Never. He notices us. He counts every step. He prays for us. He notices our struggle. Number 3, Jesus comes at my moment of desperation. What does Jesus do at your moment of desperation? I love this. Mark 4:48. About the fourth watch of the night, he, Jesus, went out to them. I love this verse. It seems simple enough, but it's really packed. Notice, folks, Jesus didn't say, hey, you guys out in the boat, you feel like you're sinking, you can't even make your boat. Hey, you guys, come here to me. He did not do that. Jesus went to them where they were in the circumstance that they found themselves in. Folks, when you're at your point of desperation, Jesus comes to you. When you're in a storm and you need somebody to show up and to come to you, Jesus comes to you. Jesus intervened in their storm. Folks, that's the gospel. God doesn't stand on the shoreline telling us what to do. He comes out. He meets us where we are in our pain, in our fear, in our depression, in our storm, in our discouragement. He comes to us. Folks, you may feel abandoned. But you are not abandoned. John 14:8 says this, I will not abandon you or leave you as orphans in the storm. I will come to you. You can count on it. How does he come? He comes walking on the very problems that scare you. What are the disciples afraid of right now? They're afraid of the waves. It wouldn't take too many waves for them to sink. Their version of a bilge pump was a little bucket. Two big waves, that boat would be full. And they're afraid of those huge waves. And what does Jesus do? Jesus comes walking on the waves. Jesus is making a point here. I just want you to understand. You got to write this down. Whatever is over your head is under Jesus' feet. Do you get that? That's good stuff. Write it down. I'll give you my notes. The waves were their biggest fear, and Jesus came walking on their biggest fear. Whatever is over your head is under Jesus' feet. So what are you worried about today? What do you feel like is over your head? Because what it is, no matter what it is, it's under Jesus' feet. Jesus walks on the very problems that scare you. He comes to you when you're in despair and comes in his own timing. Now, you need to get this. How many of you think that God's timing is always the way you want it to be? No? But his timing is perfect. Would you agree with that? It's interesting. The Bible tells us here that Jesus came to the disciples at the fourth watch of the night. Now, in biblical times, they had four watches of the night. 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. was number one. The second watch was 9 p.m. to midnight. The third watch was midnight to 3 a.m. And the fourth watch was 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. I think the disciples wanted Jesus at 6 p.m. And Jesus was like, nah. You think Jesus was unaware of what was going on? He knew. He comes to us at his perfect time. I know sometimes we feel God is late, but he never is. He never is. That leads us to the fourth thing that Jesus does in the storm. Number four, he shows me his true identity. You learn what Jesus is really like, folks, in the storms of life. He's not a mere man. He's not a nice teacher. He's not an ethical leader. He is God. Look at these verses in Mark 6, verses 49 and 50. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Jesus said, "It is I, guys. It's me. It's Jesus. It's God's Son." Folks, when you're in a storm, you don't need a job. You need Jesus. When you need a plan, you don't need a plan. You need a person. You don't need a system. You need a Savior. You don't need a new goal. You need God. And God is who shows up. Folks, don't ever forget that when you're in a storm. God is not some distant, apathetic, uninvolved God. He is involved in your life. He's praying for you. He's noticing your struggle. He's coming to you. He's revealing himself to you. Now, let's close this out here. So what do I do if I'm sinking? What do I do if I feel like I'm about to go under? A couple of things. Number one, have courage, because Jesus is with me. In Mark 6, 50, it says, Jesus said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." That's the starting point. I need to have courage in the storm. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is when you move ahead in spite of your fears. Courage is when you do the right thing, even though you're scared to death to do it. Have courage. Why? Because Jesus is with me. Number two, what do you do when you feel like you're sinking? You have courage and you take a risk in faith. In Matthew's telling of this story, he adds a detail that John and Mark leave out, and that is that Peter walked on water too. Notice what it says here in Matthew 14, verses 28 and 29. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. So Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. Can you imagine what a rush that would give you? The only human being to ever walk on water. You can put that on your resume. What are some great accomplishments? Water walker. You can talk to your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids. It'd be incredible. It's interesting, before jumping out, Peter asks for ID. "Lord, if it's you, can I join you?" Doesn't seem like Peter's doubting that he can walk on water. He just wants to make sure it's Jesus. He don't want to get out of the boat if it's not him. Folks, if God tells you to go out and start a new business, you need to say, Lord, I'll do it. I just want to make sure it's you, God. Just want to, because if God's in it, you're going to be fine. So Peter jumps out of the boat. Peter had learned the lesson that it's the most important lesson you need to learn from this text. It's this. It is safer to be with Jesus out of the boat than in the boat without Jesus. Do you get that? It is safer to be with Jesus out of the boat than be in the boat without him. Where do you need to get out of the boat now? Say, God, I can't afford to do this, but if it's your will, then I can. God, I'm scared about where I think you're leading me, but if it's you, God, I can do it. A third thing that we do. We need to stay focused on Jesus. This is what you need to do if you feel like you're sinking. You put your eyes on Jesus. You keep your eyes on the Lord. This is what happened to Peter. The moment you take your eyes off, then you're going under. This is what happened to Peter in Matthew 14, 30. It says this, but when Peter looked around at the high waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. It says when Peter looked around, every time you start looking around at your circumstances, you have a chance of going down. So keep your eyes on God. What had changed with Peter? What he's looking at, that's what changed. Folks, there are going to be people who would try to make you think that things in your life you shouldn't be doing, it's illogical, it doesn't make sense. They're going to be the ones who tell you you can't walk on the water. But you need to trust in what God is leading you to do. You need to stay focused on Jesus. Number four, another thing we need to do is not doubt. Don't doubt. Folks, you need to believe your beliefs and you need to doubt your doubts. We get it backwards. Doubts were meant to be doubted. Beliefs are meant to be believed. Peter looks around and he starts to sink. In Matthew 14, 31, it says, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Oh, you of little faith, he said. Why did he doubt? I don't think this was, you know, that big of a rebuke to Peter, because at least Peter got out of the boat, right? Notice Jesus reaches down and says, you of little faith. He did not say, you of no faith. It took some faith to get out of that boat. He looked around. He had a momentary lapse. He started going down in the water. He had a little faith. The no faith people were still in the boat, right? It only took a little faith for Peter to walk on the water. Folks, you don't need great faith. It's not the size of your faith that matters. It's the size of God that matters. You put your little faith in a big God, you're going to get awesome results. Some of you are saying, I don't have any faith. Oh, yes, you do. You came to church today and you sat down in those benches and you had faith they weren't going to fall apart when you sat down. When you fly on a plane, you have faith that the pilot's going to get you there. It takes a lot of faith to get on the plane. I don't have that much faith. I don't like to fly. I like to jump out of planes. I'm going to do it again in about 2 weeks. But the flight up to where I jump out just scares me. Every time you eat, you practice faith. Do you know that person who prepared your meat, your potatoes, your vegetables? No, you don't. Did they have a good night or a bad night? Are they mad at somebody or just ticked off at the world? Or are they responsible? It takes faith to even eat. There's something called unavoidable defects. It's a term the FDA uses to refer to the amount of contamination they allowed in food, like pizza. You eat it by faith. Did you realize the FDA allows 30 fly eggs per 100 grams of pizza sauce? You eat it by faith. You hope the other person got those 100 grams, not you. You use faith every day of your life. I'm not talking about having faith or not. I'm talking about in whom you place your faith. And then number five, you need to praise God. It's kind of how we started out our service this morning, taking time to praise God. You praise God even in the storm, even when you feel like you're sinking. Even when you're scared to death. You have two options when you're sinking. You can either worry or worship. You can panic or pray. You can tremble or trust. You can have fear or you can have faith. Look at Matthew 14, verses 32 and 33. When Jesus climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Why did Jesus make these disciples go into the storm? He made them because he wanted to see if they had really learned that he could do anything. Because when you realize that Jesus can do anything, then Jesus becomes all you need. Jesus wanted them to learn faith, not fear. So here's the question. What storm is scaring you now? What storm is causing you to sink? Why do you think God is letting you go through this storm? At the very least, Jesus is sending you into the storm for the same reasons he sent the disciples into the storm. To say to you, "I'm all you need. I can handle anything for you. I will come to you in the fourth watch, the last hour where you think I've just forgotten you. I'll be there. I'll come walking on the very thing that scares you most. I'm going to be walking on the waves of your life. And I'm not asking you to come to me, I'm coming to you. You just need to stop being afraid and totally, absolutely trust me by faith." How many storms is it going to take before you learn to trust God like that? How many storms is it going to take to break you of your self-reliance until you finally say, "Okay, God, you are all I have, and you are all I need"? Jesus wants to rescue you. Let him. Remember that phrase back from the 70s? It may have gone to the 60s and got repopular again. Four words: let go and let God. Let go and let God. Would you pray with me, please? God, everything in your word just seems spot on for life. Jesus, thank you for making your disciples go out knowing they were going to go right in the middle of a terrible storm. Because not only did you teach them some principles for living and following you, today you've taught us those same principles, those same things we need to do to be a good follower of yours. Now, God, we all go through times when we're sinking, times when we feel like we're going to sink, times when we're so far down in the sinking process, we wonder if we'll ever get up. You are aware of all of those situations for each and every one of us. God, help us to maintain our faith. And I want to thank you right now that it doesn't take a lot of faith on our end, because sometimes we just have what Peter had, a little faith. But when we put our little faith in you, a loving, gracious, all-powerful, personal God, then we're going to make it through. Thank you, Jesus, that you walk on top of the problems that scare us. Thank you that you take the initiative to come to us. Now, God, I just want you to apply this message to us. Holy Spirit, take it right to our hearts, take it to our head, to the point where we know what we need to do in response to your word today. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, pass those cards out and invite some folks. Let's pray as we go. Lord, thank you so much for this time to praise you as we've talked about what it feels like in those days when we're just kind of sinking and things around us are difficult, and yet we know that you're there with us, reaching out to lift us up. Help us not only to reach out in faith, but to praise you everywhere we go. May there be a joy in our heart that people want to know about. We love you and we thank you now, Lord, and we pray it in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.